Hi, we're up to Kuf Mem Dalad 144. The Gemara here continues the concept of Shalola Ratzon and La Ratzon, My La Ratzon, right? Shalola Ratzon, Mistama. It has to be that if it's going to be Machshir LaKabal Tuma, it has to be a certain willingness that comes along with it. Lola Ratzon, the Gali Dait Amelon Nichali, by same as Shiny Slides on Avim Kavan Dalibud Kaimim Ikar, Ifkud Mafkir Lahu. Right? So one renounces it from the beginning, he's Mafkir it. Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda, the modular Rabbana Bezesim, we found in the Brice Rabbi Yehuda, agrees with Rabbi, with the rabbis regard to the olives and dates. That liquid that comes to Menon Shabbos is usher during Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Befagoyin of Frishin of Bezerin, Alarimonim, plums and quinces and crab, you can't squeeze them. Again, squeezing back to Schita. Here's a background, talks about Kadesh Kiloyim. It's forbidden to plant different types of crops together that we learned, Sodkalos is right, Kiloyim. If one sows Kiloyim, the produce becomes what's called Kidesh from the word. In the Pasuk, Tikdash, you have the concept of a Zav here, which you talked about. Hechsher Ochlin, foods become tummy if they touch a sore stomach, but only if they first became wet by coming in contact with one of the seven liquids, water, dew, oil, wine, milk, blood, and honey. It's necessary for only for the owner to desire the liquid. He doesn't have to desire the liquid to come in contact with the food, he just has to desire the liquid. Just as a Ha'ara over here, so Rabbi Kiva holds that milk, that the milk of both a woman and animal are makshir for tumma, even though nobody planned to drink them. The Chaim hold that the milk of a woman is makshir without intent, but the milk of an animal is makshir only when one intends to drink it. And the Chaim prove that liquids from an animal are less able to be makshir from the fact that the blood of an animal cannot be makshir, except for dam shchita, while the blood of a person is makshir. Rabbi Akiva comes back and says that no proof can be adduced from the blood because milk, even animal milk, has a greater ability to be makshir than blood. He proves this from the halacha that one who milks an animal for curative purpose, refua, the milk is tameh. But if one lets out blood from an animal for the same purpose, the blood is tar. So Rashi and the Rishonim explain that Rabbi Akiva means to say that milk of an animal is makshir while blood of animal is not. So why does Rabbi Akiva need to mention that milk that is drawn out of refua is makshir? Animal milk in general is makshir, while animal blood is not. What difference does it make? So Tosfos says that indeed Rabbi Kiva does not need to mention the milk was drawn for refua. Any milk with makshir v'tumah. Tosfos Yontif says the Gemara here supports the opinion of the Rush and the Machshirin recorded by the Vilna Gaon, who writes that when a person specifically intends to drink animal's blood, the blood is makshir. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, needs to mention that the animal's milk is capable of being makshir when the animal is not milked in order to use its milk, but rather in order to make the animal comfortable. While blood around is not earmarked for drinking, such as blood that was let from an animal to improve its health, that's not going to be makshir. The Braisa said that one may squeeze the juice out of prunes, quinces, crab apples, but not out of pomegranates, because the people of the house of Menashe ben Menachem squeeze pomegranates for use in their juice. And the Gemara wonders how the conduct of two individuals can establish for everyone that pomegranates are normally squeezed for their juices. Rav Chisda explains that when a person intends to use the pomegranate juice, he lends significant juice and thus he's chayav. So according to Rav Chisda's answer, one should also be prohibited from squeezing out the juices of prunes and other fruits mentioned in the Braisa. How does Rav Chisda's answer explain how the family was able to establish an isser against pomegranates, squeezing pomegranates? So Rashi and Tosfos says that Rav Chisda understands the Braisa differently from the way it was originally understood. The Braisa refers to squeezing fruits not for the juices, but in order to sweeten the fruits. The types of fruits that are never squeezed for their juices may be crushed in order to sweeten them on Shabbos. The Rabbanim were not concerned that if one allowed to squeeze the fruit to sweeten it, he might come to squeeze it for a juice, since nobody normally squeezes it for its juice. Pomegranates, however, may not be squeezed to sweeten the fruit. Since there are few individuals who squeeze it for its juice, the Rabbanim were afraid that it would be permitted to squeeze the pomegranate or sweeten it, one might squeeze it for its juice as well. The Gemara says that one is allowed to milk a goat's milk directly into food on Shabbos, and that's not considered to be the malacha of Mefarik because milk is considered ochel when it's in the goat, since it's part of the goat which can be eaten, and it remains ochel when it mixes with the food and becomes part of the food. The malacha of Mefarik applies only taking an item that was initially ochel and making it a mashke. Now, why is one permitted to use goat's milk on Shabbos? Even though there's no problem with Mefarik, it should be usher because of another reason. The milk is nolad, an item that came into being on Shabbos, which is mukta. A goat is mukta on Shabbos because it can't be shechted, and its milk should also be mukta as well since its state has changed on Shabbos. So Tosfos, the Nerabbeinu Tam, says that indeed the milk is not permitted on Shabbos because it is nolad. And the Gemara refers to milking a goat on Yontif when the goat is not mukta because it can be shechted. The Ritva says the ruling of the milk of a goat is permitted is only in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who allows nolad.